Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Windows Vista Application Compatibility. My name is Peter Lammers. Today's session will focus on application compatibility with Windows Vista and possible issues that may need to be addressed when upgrading to the newest version of Microsoft Windows. Windows Vista introduces the next generation operating system technology and software development platform that will be used by application developers and enterprises worldwide. As part of enhancing the security and user experience of Windows Vista, many new features have been introduced and existing features have been improved. While Windows Vista is highly compatible with most of the applications written for Windows XP, Microsoft Windows Server 2003, and their service packs, some amount of compatibility breaks are inevitable due to new innovations, tightened security, and increased reliability. Overall, Windows Vista compatibility is high, and Microsoft is continuously striving to achieve the best possible compatibility solutions for existing applications with Windows Vista. However, in this session, we will examine some areas where possible incompatibility may occur. User Account Control, or UAC, is a new feature with Windows Vista that provides many benefits to organizations in order to provide a balance between security and productivity. As with any upgrade or migration to a new operating system, you should test applications and drivers your organization uses to make sure they are compatible before you deploy to the entire organization. We will cover a variety of compatibility issues that may arise. However, we won't cover everything that may cause problems. So it is important to test how your applications will run with Windows Vista. To assist you in assessing the compatibility of your current applications, Microsoft provides several tools: the Program Compatibility Assistant, the Application Compatibility Toolkit, the Standard User Analyzer Tool, and the Application Verifier Tool. We will discuss these tools and how to use them to provide your users with the best experience using Windows Vista. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. In this session, we are going to highlight new or improved features with Windows Vista compared to previous versions of Windows. Many of these features are related to user administration, so an understanding of this with either Windows XP or Windows Server 2003 will help you understand the differences in the operating systems. One feature with Windows Vista we will discuss is the support of 64-bit processors. We aren't going to go into detail regarding the differences in processors and different bit sizes, so basic understanding of these differences may be helpful in this section of the session. We're also going to discuss changes to the TCP/IP stack and networking changes with Windows Vista. Windows Vista also supports IPv6, which will be helpful to understand what IPv6 is and how it is different from IPv4. To help cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We're going to start the session by explaining user account control. Although UAC provides many benefits, some applications may be affected by its implementation. We will discuss these possible areas of incompatibility and look at how to resolve problems if they arise. Next, we will explore other areas of possible application incompatibility with Windows Vista. These include newer improved features with Windows Vista, such as the new networking features. We will also look at the ways that applications interact with the operating system and how problems can arise from this interaction. Finally, we will introduce some tools Microsoft provides to assist with application compatibility. To understand how problems might arise with UAC, we are going to start by explaining what UAC is and how it works. UAC is a new set of features in Windows Vista that works to create a balance between the privileges of an administrator account and the security of a standard user account. Before Windows Vista, activities such as surfing the web, sending email, and using productivity programs required special administrative privileges. However, these activities shouldn't require higher privileges. UAC with Windows Vista makes it easy to perform these activities and be productive only using standard user accounts. Most of the time, users will run with standard privileges. But when they need to perform an administrative task, like installing a new program, Windows Vista will allow them to perform the task with administrative privileges. By limiting the amount of time they run with administrative rights, it is more difficult for malware to have computer-wide impact. UAC settings are established through group policy settings and are created as a per-computer setting. Settings can be created for administrators and standard users. When a user tries to run a program with administrative privileges, you can change the behavior to either no prompt or to prompt for credentials. The default and recommended behavior is to prompt for credentials. There is an additional configuration option for administrator accounts. You can change the behavior elevation event to not prompt, prompt for credentials, or prompt for consent. In addition to the setting for behavior on elevation event, you have the option to run all users, including administrators, as UAC users. This option is enabled by default. The virtualization feature of Windows Vista is designed to improve application compatibility of existing software by redirecting writes with a global impact on per-user locations. It is important for application developers to understand how virtualization may impact both new product development and migration of legacy applications to Windows Vista. Note, however, that virtualization is intended only to assist in application compatibility with existing programs. Applications designed for Windows Vista should not perform writes to sensitive system areas, nor should they rely on virtualization to provide redress for incorrect application behavior. When updating existing code to run on Windows Vista, developers should ensure that, during runtime, applications only store data in per-user locations. With this in mind, Microsoft intends to remove virtualization from future versions of the Windows operating system as more applications are migrated to Windows Vista. Virtualization comprises two components: file virtualization and registry virtualization. File virtualization addresses the situation where an application relies on the ability to store a file, such as a configuration file, in a system-wide location. This works well when the user is a member of the administrator's group, but fails when the same program is started from a limited user account or an account protected by UAC. When the application writes to a system location, such as program files, Windows redirects it to the user's specific path under the virtual store directory. Later, when the application reads back this file, the system will provide the one in the virtual store. For example, suppose user A is running under a limited user account and saves a file to program files. Virtualization would allow this file to be saved successfully. However, instead of saving the file to the program's files, the write is redirected to the virtual store, the user's account security identifier, program files folder. Looking in the program files directory with Windows Explorer, user A will see the file, since Windows Explorer properly shows the user's virtualized files. Now, another limited user, user B, logs on. This user will not see the file in the program's file directory. When user B saves a file to program's files, virtualization will redirect the write to the user B's virtual store. Therefore, the files user A writes remains independent of the files user B writes. The second type of virtualization is registry virtualization, which is similar to file virtualization but applies to registry keys under HKEY local machine software. This feature permits applications that rely on the ability to store configuration information in HKEY local machine software to continue to work when they are run under a limited user account. The keys and data are redirected to HKey class's root virtual store software. As in the file virtualization case, each user has a virtualized copy of any values that an application stored in HKLM. Let's look at a demonstration to help illustrate UAC. In this demonstration, we will show how UAC works from a standard user's perspective, and we will show how the virtualization occurs when saving a file. If you ever used Windows XP as a standard user, you've probably run into several frustrating issues. You can't open the clock properties to look at the time, much less change the time zone. You can't change power management settings, and many applications don't run properly in that environment. A few things have been changed to make that experience better within Windows Vista for the standard user. If we need to change the time on our computer, it is still an action that requires elevated privileges. Anytime you try to perform an operation that requires administrative privileges, you'll see a shield icon, which indicates that such privileges are required in order to perform this action. After you click the shield icon and supply administrative credentials, you can unlock Control Panel and undertake that operation. You may be thinking the issue is still there because only an administrator can change the system time. However, the time settings on the computer itself are more important for Kerberos authentication, which is the default authentication method of the Windows network. What we've actually unlocked for the user is the ability to change the system time zone. This is especially important for traveling users for whom you need to provide restricted permissions. This is one way that we've made great strides in improving the experience for the standard user. Let's look at another example of how we're keeping the environment safe yet functional. If we look at the properties of the computer, we'll see that if we wanted to change the system settings or the product key, these would be considered administrative operations. And if we try to change the product key, we would again be prompted for administrative credentials. You will see that same awareness in other areas of the operating system as well. For example, if we try to install a downloaded program, rather than just running the setup, Windows understands that the operation requires administrative privileges. Once again, if we supply those administrative credentials, then the installation can begin. If not, the installation will not start. Another area in which this applies is in using legacy applications. We have added a new feature to ensure that legacy applications will still run satisfactorily for standard users. Let's see an example of what this looks like. A sample application is designed to simulate what a lot of applications do when running under Windows XP. They try to save per-user settings in the program files folder. We'll type some text in the message field, and then choose the option to save this to a shared database, meaning the program files folder, and save the message. A successful file save message appears at the bottom of the application window. With Windows XP, this save would have failed unless we were an administrator. But it really wasn't created in the program files folder. Instead, Windows Vista saves the file into a virtual store. This is where the file actually resides, and again, this happens without any modification to the application whatsoever. The virtual store location is a per-user location. This means that if another user were going to log on to this computer, the file they save will be placed into a different virtual store. Neither user will be able to access the other user's virtual store. When the application tried to write to program files, with Windows XP, we would have seen an access denied error. But Windows Vista captured that write operation and then redirected it to the virtual store. A final area of interest in regards to UAC and application compatibility is application updates. Many existing applications have a tendency to incorporate update functionality in their application. The goal of embedding update functionality is to ensure that the client is running the most up-to-date binary that the ISV can offer. When these applications perform updates, they can require higher privileges than that of a standard user. This is because the per-machine files that were set up during installation may need to be changed. As per the UAC model for running and installing applications, only the elevated administrator has sufficient privileges to perform these actions. The Windows Vista installer detection heuristics detect many applications' updaters correctly and elevate the updater process appropriately so that the updates complete successfully on elevation. However, a few areas remain where application updates cannot complete successfully. The first area is out-of-process updaters that are not installer detected. If an application updates itself by using a separate process that is not installer detected, this separate process should be marked as requiring administrative privileges using appfix. Updaters that do not work as a user will prohibit an enterprise from running with least privilege, which would cause security threats. An updater should be written as a separate process with one level of administrator and should only execute when necessary for updating purposes. Checking for whether the program needs updates should be done as the user. The second area where application updates may not complete successfully is for multi-purpose executables and in-process updates. With Vista, you can't switch back and forth between the state in which an executable is run. Consequently, the executable will always have to run as administrator. There are some alternative methods for applications to perform updates. First, they can utilize patching technology in MSI. The main advantage for this method over others is that it works with a standard user account and keeps the application secure. It provides a better user experience because the standard user account doesn't have to ask an administrator to install the patch or request permanent administrator privileges to run the application. In addition, you can use other custom installer mechanisms, although this is discouraged for the enterprise environment because this will prohibit users from running as non-administrators. Finally, updating can occur as a standard user when using ClickOnce technology. This is an install platform that allows the user to deploy applications within it and handles the updating for the application writer. UAC is among several areas to be aware of in regards to application compatibility with Windows Vista. Now that we have discussed user account control and its application compatibility implications, let's look at the other areas of Windows Vista that may cause issues. The internal version number for Windows Vista is 6, which is the next major version number from Windows XP, which was version 5.x. The getVersion function will return this version number to applications when queried. How does this affect applications? The manifestation of this version change is application-specific. Any application that specifically checks for the operating system version will get a higher version number. Application installers may prevent themselves from installing the application or prevent themselves from starting. Applications may warn users and continue to function properly or become unstable and crash. However, most applications will function properly in Windows Vista because the application compatibility in Windows Vista is high. However, for applications and installers that check for operating system version, a compatibility mode is provided. Users can right-click the shortcut of the EXE and apply the Windows XP SP2 compatibility mode from the Compatibility tab. In most cases, this should enable the application to work as it did on Windows XP, without a need for any changes to the application. Generally, applications should not perform operating system version checks. At a minimum, always accept version 6 or later for the operating system. This behavior should be followed unless there is a specific legal, business, or system component need to do the version check. Organizations benefit from features that increase system stability, predictability, and reliability. Windows Resource Protection, WRP, is designed to protect a Windows system in a read-only state by preventing the replacement of essential system files, folders, and registry keys that are installed as part of Windows Vista. Updates to protected resources are restricted to the operating system trusted installers, such as Windows Servicing. This enables components and applications that ship with the operating system to be better protected from the impact of other applications and administrators. WRP replaces Windows File Protection, WFP, which is available in Windows Server 2003 family, Windows XP, Windows 2000, and Windows ME. Applications should not attempt to modify WRP protected resources because they are used by Windows and other applications. If an application attempts to modify a WRP protected resource, a couple of things can happen. Application installers that attempt to replace, modify, or delete critical Windows files or registry keys may fail to install the application, and users will receive an error message stating that the access to the resource was denied. Applications that attempt to add or remove subkeys or change the values of protected registry keys may fail, and users will receive an error message stating that access to the resource was denied. Applications that rely on writing any information to protected registry keys, folders, or files may fail. Therefore, several best practices should be followed to ensure your application will integrate with Windows Vista. First, you should install or update system components on Windows Vista, except when using Microsoft-provided, redistributable packages designed for Windows Vista. With a Microsoft-provided redistributable designed for Windows Vista, make sure to install the whole redistributable and not just individual components. You can use SFC is file protected to detect WRP protected files, and if a file is under WRP, then the application should not install or modify the file. For registry keys protected by WRP, applications should gracefully handle access denied messages that are due to WRP. Finally, you should test and verify that legacy applications relying on WRP mitigation are working properly by installing the application. In Windows Vista, Microsoft Internet Explorer 7 runs in protected mode, which can help protect users from attack by running the Internet Explorer process with greatly restricted privileges. Protected mode builds on a new integrity mechanism to restrict write access to securable objects like processes, files, and registry keys with higher integrity levels. When run in protected mode, Internet Explorer is a low integrity process. It cannot gain write access to files and registry keys in a user's profile or system locations. Low integrity processes can only write to folders, files, and registry keys that have been assigned a low integrity mandatory label. As a result, Internet Explorer and its extensions run in protected mode, which can only write to low-integrity locations, such as the new low-integrity temporary Internet Files folder, the History folder, the Cookies folder, the Favorites folder, and the Windows Temporary Files folders. Furthermore, the protected mode process will run with a low desktop integrity level when Windows Vista ships, which will prevent it from sending specific Windows messages to higher integrity processes. By preventing unauthorized access to sensitive areas of a user's system, protected mode limits the amount of damage that can be caused by a compromised Internet Explorer process or malware. An attacker cannot, for example, silently install a keystroke logger to the user's startup folder. Likewise, a compromised process cannot manipulate applications on the desktop through Windows Messages. Of course, these defenses also limit legitimate changes to higher integrity locations, or ILs. As a result, Protected Mode provides a compatibility architecture that reduces the impact on existing extensions. A compatibility layer handles the needs of many existing extensions. It intercepts attempts to write to medium integrity resources, such as the My Documents folder in the user profile and the HKEY Current User Registry Hive. The compatibility layer uses a generic Windows compatibility fix to automatically redirect these operations to low integrity locations. Two higher privilege broker processes allow Internet Explorer and extensions to perform elevated operations given user consent. For example, the User Privilege Broker, IEUser.exe, process provides a set of functions that let the user save files to areas outside of low integrity areas. In addition, an Administrator Privilege Broker, IEInstall.exe, process allows Internet Explorer to install ActiveX controls. Internet Explorer Protected Mode can result in two application problems. Applications that use Internet Explorer 7 will not be able to write directly to a disk while in an Internet or Intranet zone, and applications may not know how to handle new prompts. A quick fix is to add the site in question to the Trusted Sites list, or you can turn off Protected Mode, although this is not recommended unless absolutely necessary. A long-term solution should be to leverage Windows Vista capability and change the application to handle Protected Mode, including any related prompts that may be displayed. Windows Vista fully supports the 64-bit architecture processors from AMD and Intel. "32-bit processing has a memory limit of 4 gigabytes, whereas with 64-bit processing, there is virtually unlimited physical memory available. In addition, the 64-bit processor can manipulate data and execute instructions in chunks that are twice as large. The 64-bit version of Windows Vista can run all 32-bit applications with the help of the WoW 64 emulator. However, applications or components that use 16-bit executables, 16-bit installers, or 32-bit kernel drivers will either fail to start or function improperly on a 64-bit edition of Windows Vista. Therefore, all 16-bit components should be removed from applications and replaced with 32-bit or 64-bit equivalents, and all 16-bit installers should be converted to 32-bit or 64-bit installers. If the application uses kernel mode drivers, a 64-bit version of the driver needs to be authored. The application should detect the platform of the operating system, 32-bit or 64-bit, and then install the proper architecture of the driver based on the operating system platform. For Windows Vista, kernel mode software must have a digital signature to load an x64-based computer systems for stronger security. Requiring a digital signature discourages users from running or installing unsigned code. As a result, unsigned drivers are not supported and cannot be installed on 64-bit Windows Vista. The digital signature check is done both during installation and driver load time. The mandatory kernel mode code signing policy applies to all kernel mode software on x64-based running systems running Windows Vista. However, Microsoft encourages publishers to digitally sign all software, including device drivers for both 32-bit and 64-bit platforms. In Windows Vista, the Graphical Identification and Authentication, or GINA, credential input extension model has been deprecated in favor of a more simple and straightforward credential provider model. With previous versions of Windows, the GINA operates in the context of the WinLogon process. Therefore, the GINA DLL is loaded early in the boot process. The GINA DLL must follow rules so that the integrity of the system is maintained, particularly with respect to interaction with the user. The purpose of a GINA DLL is to provide customizable user identification and authentication procedures. The default GINA does this by delegating SAS event monitoring to WinLogon, which receives and processes Control-Alt-Delete secure attention sequences. Prior to Windows Vista, to log on to third-party server or with a third-party device, ISVs had to replace the Gina Dynamic Link Library in Windows XP. Such applications also had to replace the existing user interface and implement smart card and remote desktop features on Windows XP. Unlike the Gina module, with Windows Vista, ISVs no longer need to replace the user interface for the logon screen, thus relieving the ISV of the burden of reauthoring the user interface for the user. An ISV can author a credential provider, which is a module that plugs into the logon UI, to describe the user interface and to gather the credential and pass it on to WinLogon. Credential providers are completely transparent to WinLogon. Credentials providers are also additive, meaning that users can install multiple credential providers and pick the one they want to use. Credential providers can be user-selected and/or event-driven. Multiple credential providers can coexist on Windows Vista that are not only for third parties. In fact, Windows will ship two credential providers in the box, a username and password credential provider and a smart card credential provider. Since the Gina functionality from Windows XP and Windows Server 2003 has been deprecated and removed from Windows Vista, the Gina modules of applications will not function and will have to be reauthored using the new authentication model for Windows Vista. In Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, and earlier versions of the Windows operating system, all services run in the same session as the first user who logs on to the console. This session is called Session 0. Running services and user applications together in Session 0 poses a security risk because services run at elevated privilege and, therefore, are targets for malicious agents who are looking for a means to elevate their own privilege level. Windows Vista mitigates the security risk by isolating services in Session 0 and making Session 0 non-interactive. The first user logs on to Session 1, and subsequent users log on to subsequent sessions. This means that only system processes and services run in Session 0, and services never run in the same session as user applications. If the application's service uses a user interface, a built-in mitigation in Windows Vista allows the user to interact with the Session 0 user interface in a special desktop. This will make available the user interface specific to the application instead of the entire Session 0 desktop. If the application creates globally named objects, use the Windows XP compatibility mode to ensure that the application will continue to work with the Session 0 services. This special desktop should only be used as a short-term solution. To leverage the full Windows Vista capability, you have several options. You can use client or server mechanisms, such as Remote Procedure Call, RPC, or named pipes to communicate between services and applications. Or you can use the WTS Send Message function to create a simple message box on the user's desktop. This allows the service to give the user a notification and request a simple response. For a more complex user interface, use the Create Process as User function to create a process in the user's session. Finally, you can explicitly choose either the local or global namespace for any named objects, such as events or mapped memory, that the service makes available. Several networking changes in Windows Vista may affect your application's compatibility with the operating system. A new helper API set has been designed to provide a common functionality across all new networking technologies. This helper API provides kernel mode functions for Windows sockets in kernel, WSK clients, through a consistent, extensible object model. In addition, it provides IP version 6 support with a single set of functions for IP version 4 and IP version 6 addressing. While providing a well-defined security model based on the network service interface, it exposes new stack functionality, such as compartments and sub-interfaces. Applications using the older help APIs or undocumented kernel function calls will fail to function and may become unstable. Therefore, applications need to support and implement the new kernel mode IP helper APIs. The TCP/IP stack in Windows Vista has IP version 6 enabled by default. This will affect applications that are using the Windows XP TCP/IP stack and/or that are unaware of the IP version 6 protocol. As a result, the application will not function properly and may crash or create an unstable system. So any application that hooks into the stack must be capable of handling IP version 6 traffic, or at least it should not crash upon receiving IP version 6 traffic. Any application that relies on a single IP version 4 address will need to be modified to handle multiple IP version 6 addresses. Furthermore, any application that picked the first address may have to more carefully identify the IP version 6 address to use. This is because an IP version 6 link local address is not routable, and hence, the application may not work. Instead, the application should use functions that allow connection by name and choose the most appropriate address automatically. Also, applications must handle and support IP version 6 only scenarios, and they must support and implement the strong host routing model. The Windows Vista networking stack has been completely rewritten. Instead of the dual stack model that exists in Windows XP or Windows Server 2003 to support IP version 4 and IP version 6, Windows Vista implements a new architecture whereby there is a single transport and framing layer that supports multiple IP layers. There are several new features and protocol enhancements. The new stack is modular, flexible, and extensible. While all attempts have been made to maintain application compatibility with the existing applications that interface with the stack at various layers, there are still changes, mostly side effects of the improvements, that may have potential application compatibility issues and that application developers must carefully evaluate to understand the impact of these changes on their applications. The Microsoft Windows Filtering Platform, WFP, API allows developers to create code that interacts with the filtering that takes place at several layers in the Windows Vista and Microsoft Windows Server Longhorn operating system networking stack. And throughout the operating system, WFP also integrates with and provides support for firewall features such as authenticated communication and dynamic firewall configuration based on an application's use of the Sockets API. If an application built for Windows XP was using only public functions for networking, it should not see any break in functionality, although it should be tested on Windows Vista to verify its functionality. Applications in the following scenarios will not work. Applications using any of the firewall hook driver or filter hook driver functions, and applications relying on internal structures and function calls that were never published by Microsoft. Also, transport driver interface, TDI filter drivers written in kernel mode may not work properly after an operating system upgrade. The WFP exposes a rich set of functions and services for network security developers and provides guidance and documentation on the available feature sets. Some of these features with Windows Vista can be easier to understand if we look at them in a demonstration. In this demonstration, we will provide solutions for some of the compatibility issues we have covered so far. A fundamental step towards increasing the security of Windows is enabling interactive users to run with a standard user account, which gives them access to only a limited set of permissions and privileges, as we have demonstrated already. By default, Windows Vista will run every application as a standard user, even if you log on as a member of the administrator's group. Conversely, when users attempt to run an application that has been marked as requiring administrator permissions, the system will explicitly ask them to confirm their intention to do so. Only applications running with administrator privileges can modify system and global settings and behavior. Windows Vista includes functionality to manually and preemptively request that an application be started. Remember our legacy application that, by default, starts using standard user privileges? Standard users can never elevate the privileges of an application without providing a separate set of administrative credentials. To start a program with full administrator privileges on a one-time basis, right-click the program icon and then select Run as Administrator on the context menu. After the user authorizes the elevation, the program will start and run with the full privileges of an administrator. This is how a user of Windows Vista would run an application elevated without persisting the setting. With this, a user can run an application elevated only when he or she specifically wants to. In addition, by requiring additional credentials to elevate the program, Windows Vista restricts access to only authorized users. Now that we have elevated our legacy application, we'll open it to show how the application behavior has changed. Just like before, we'll type a test message, and then choose the option to save this to a shared database, meaning the program files folder, and save the message. In our earlier demonstration, when we saved the file, it was saved to a virtual store. This time, however, it was actually saved to the program files folder location because the program is running with administrator credentials. Although this behavior is a great improvement, it has several implications for application compatibility. Once these issues have been identified and corrected, companies will be able to experience the full security benefits with Windows Vista. In addition to redirection, custom installers, uninstallers, and updaters may not be detected and elevated to run as administrator. Standard user applications that require administrative privileges to perform their tasks may fail or not make this task available to standard users. And applications that attempt to perform tasks for which the current user does not have the necessary permissions may fail. How the failure manifests itself depends on how the application was written. Now we are going to log on to the computer as the administrator for the rest of this presentation. Allowing a user to run a program as an administrator on a one-time basis allows for flexibility in choosing when to run a program elevated and prevents the unauthorized use of the program to propagate viruses or other security threats. However, this solution is not always available. You will not want users to have access to administrator logon information, and you certainly don't want to have to physically go to a user's computer and elevate the program for him or her. A long-term solution should be developed for applications to leverage Windows Vista capability. Some guidelines for Windows Vista-based applications include separating all administrative and non-administrative functions into separate executables. The administrative task should only be run when required. For applications that are not specifically administrative in nature, the code should be modified to eliminate the need for administrator permissions or privileges. Conversely, applications that are only used by administrators should be marked so they will run with administrator permissions or privileges. Finally, when updating an application, use a separate updater exe to update the target application. While these solutions should be developed, short-term solutions are available. Windows Vista includes a compatibility tab, which will allow administrators to choose from several options to provide better application compatibility. Right-clicking an executable and then viewing the properties will give you access to the compatibility tab and the associated options. If the program worked fine under a previous version of Windows, you can use this tab to have the program continue to run in the compatibility mode for that version. For example, if the program was working with Windows XP Service Pack 2 and now isn't functioning as required with the user account control in Windows Vista, you can choose to run the program in Windows XP compatibility mode. Options for compatibility versions go from Windows 95 to Windows Server 2003 with Service Pack 1. Windows Vista also gives you several display setting options, such as running the program in only 256 colors or disabling visual themes. In the last demonstration, we showed how to elevate the program each time it was run. However, there is a way to have the program always run elevated. This is similar to the previous scenario in that you are giving approval to run an application or process as elevated with the administrator access token. However, in this scenario, you are authorizing the application or process to always run elevated without prompting the user for consent. On the compatibility tab, there is a checkbox within the run level area that indicates the program should run as a member of the administrator's group with full privileges. Microsoft provides tools to identify and fix application incompatibility issues with Windows Vista. Now that we have identified some areas of possible application incompatibility, let's look at these tools and how to use them. The Program Compatibility Wizard in Accessories and the Compatibility tab in File Properties are useful tools for users to fix program compatibility issues in Windows XP. However, these features have limited discoverability and users need to know when to use these tools. With this in mind, the Program Compatibility Assistant, PCA, was designed. The new PCA is a new feature in Windows Vista that can make older programs with compatibility problems work better in an automated manner. If PCA detects a known compatibility issue after the user has run an older program, it notifies the user of the program and offers to apply solutions that will be effective before the user runs the program the next time. One of the main scenarios for PCA is to detect setup programs failing to install on Windows Vista. When PCA detects these failures, it provides a solution of applying the Windows XP compatibility mode. The most common setup failure occurs when installers hard code the check for the Windows operating system version that they can run on. PCA will detect the scenario and display a user interface after the installer is terminated. When the user selects the option to reinstall using recommended settings, the Windows XP compatibility mode will be applied to the installer program and the installer will automatically be restarted. The second scenario for PCA is to detect program failures while running under UAC. PCA will identify when a program experiences a failure to start a child EXE because elevated privileges are needed. Typically, this will occur when programs try to start an updater.exe. However, if the same updater.exe is run from Windows Explorer, it will run elevated as expected since Windows Explorer knows how to start the UAC consent user interface and run the program as elevated. In this scenario, PCA will apply a compatibility mode. Then, the next time the program tries to start the child EXE, the user will see the UAC consent user interface to provide or confirm administrator credentials. PCA can also appear at program startup if the program is in the list of programs known to have compatibility issues. The list will be stored in the System Application Compatibility Database. PCA will display application help, app help messages if the program is known to be incompatible and if allowing the program to run may result in severe impact to the system, and if the program is known to have compatibility issues but the impact is not severe to the system. In either case, you will be given an option to check for solutions which will send a Windows error report to get an online response from Microsoft. In the case of a known compatibility issue that is not severe, you will also be given the option to run the program. Because the new security measures, such as UAC, legacy applications may not run correctly Windows Vista with default settings. To help administrators make sure that their critical legacy applications continue to function, Microsoft has provided a new version of the Application Compatibility Toolkit. The Application Compatibility Toolkit can inspect your Windows Vista system and identify applications that may not run correctly with default Vista security settings. Information about these applications is stored in a local database, along with recommendations about appropriate security settings. Administrators can review the contents of their local database and authorize each application to run with the security privileges it needs in order to function correctly. After an application has been added to the database and authorized by an administrator, Windows Vista will run that application with appropriate settings. By using the Application Compatibility Toolkit, administrators can deploy Windows Vista without disrupting the functionality of their existing enterprise software. A complementary tool to the application compatibility tool is the standard user analyzer tool. Act 5.0 will include a user account control agent that you can deploy to users' desktops to identify applications that require administrator privileges. The standard user analyzer is designed to be run on the developer or tester's workstation to test and troubleshoot a specific application. Issues identified with the standard user analyzer can also be entered into your Act 5.0 database so that you can track the application compatibility across your environment. The standard user analyzer helps developers and IT professionals diagnose issues that would prevent a program from running properly without administrator privileges. On Windows Vista, even administrators run most programs with standard user privileges by default, so it is important to ensure that your application does not have administrator access as a dependency. Using the standard user analyzer to test your application can identify the following administrator dependencies and return the results in a graphical interface: file access, registry access, INI files, token issues, security privileges, namespace issues, and other issues. Previously released with the Application Compatibility Toolkit version 3, Microsoft Application Verifier is now available as a standalone install. Application Verifier is a runtime verification tool for unmanaged code that assists in quickly finding subtle programming errors that can be extremely difficult to identify with normal application testing. Application Verifier is designed specifically to detect and help debug memory corruptions and critical security vulnerabilities. It makes it easier to create reliable applications by monitoring an application's interaction with the Windows operating system, profiling its use of objects, the registry, the file system, and Win32 APIs. It also includes checks to predict how well the application will perform under least privileged user account operation, compatibility tests to be used in logging, and print tests to verify your usage of the print subsystem. Running Application Verifier is easy. Simply turn on the tool, run your project, and go through your normal testing scenarios. When your tests are completed, view the Application Verifier logs for any errors that may have been detected. Now we're going to look at a demonstration of these application compatibility tools. In this demonstration, we will show you how to use certain application compatibility tools with Windows Vista. You may be familiar with the Program Compatibility Wizard that is included with Windows XP. The Program Compatibility Wizard is a tool you can run manually on a program if you notice compatibility issues. Windows Vista has made this process simpler by integrating the Program Compatibility Assistant into the operating system. The assistant is an automatic feature of Windows that runs when it detects an older program with a compatibility problem. The assistant should catch any programs that have compatibility issues. However, you can still use the Program Compatibility Wizard on a program or on a setup file if it won't work or install correctly. Since the Program Compatibility Assistant, or PCA, is integrated into Windows, possible compatibility issues can be identified and resolved quickly. In this example, when we try to install Microsoft .NET Framework 1.1, the PCA dialog box appears. PCA tells us that this version of Windows does not support version 1.1 of the .NET Framework. In addition, we are told that once we finish the current installation, we must install .NET Framework 1.1 Service Pack 1 for use on Windows Vista. When the PCA detects a compatibility problem, you are given several choices on how to proceed. First, you can check for solutions online. If there is a solution available, Windows will automatically display a website that lists the steps you can take. The Run Program option will allow you to just run the program anyhow. Choosing this option may result in the program not running or not installing with full functionality. Clicking Cancel will exit the installation. If we attempted to install a program that was known to be incompatible, and if allowing the program to run may result in severe impact to the system, such as a stop error or an inability to boot after the install, then a blocking message will be displayed instead of the earlier message. The blocking message will not give the user the option to run the program, but the online solutions will still be available. PCA does not specifically look for a setup failure due to version problems. Rather, PCA detects if setup did not complete successfully. It monitors a program detected as setup by Windows Vista and checks if the program registers an entry in add or remove programs. If no entries are created in add or remove programs, PCA concludes that the setup did not complete successfully and will wait for the setup program to end before displaying the user interface. PCA relies on the user account control, or UAC feature, in Windows Vista to know if a program is a setup program. UAC includes detection for setup programs and will make sure the detected setup programs will run as elevated. This includes getting administrative credentials or confirmation from the user before running the program. Since we canceled the installation of .NET Framework 1.1, when the PCA checks add or remove programs, the program will not be listed. Therefore, the PCA will display a message alerting us that the program may not have installed correctly. In this example, we already knew that the installation was canceled, but this warning would be especially helpful if we weren't aware that the program didn't install. When the PCA displays this warning, you are given several choices of how you wish to proceed. First, you can choose to reinstall using recommended settings. This will apply the Windows XP compatibility mode and restart the program. It is possible that, in some cases, PCA might display for a setup program that completed correctly but did not create an entry in ARP. In those cases, users can specify that the program did indeed install correctly. Selecting Cancel will tell PCA to not do anything. Selecting any of these options will close the PCA dialog box, and PCA will not appear again for the same setup program, except if the user selected the Cancel option on the previous PCA dialog box. As mentioned, the PCA is integrated into the Windows Vista operating system and can't be run manually. However, there are a few options for managing PCA settings. These settings are located in the Group Policy Object Editor. Group Policy settings that apply to PCA are located under Application Compatibility. The PCA is on by default. If you enable the Turn Off Program Compatibility Assistant policy setting, the PCA will be turned off. This option is useful for system administrators who require faster performance and who are aware of the compatibility of the applications they are using. Do note, however, that with the PCA turned off, the user will not be presented with solutions to known compatibility issues when running applications. If you disable or do not configure the Turn Off Program Compatibility Assistant policy setting, the PCA will be turned on. Notice there's also a setting to turn off the Program Compatibility Wizard. Microsoft recommends using the Application Verifier Tool and Limited User Account, LUA, Predictor plugin to determine whether an application has administrative dependencies. The Application Verifier Tool and UAC, or LUA, Privilege Shim, will record all privileged operations encountered by an application, This includes registry file system access and privileged API calls. This data is written to a log file that can be easily viewed using the Application Verifier Tool Viewer. Microsoft Application Verifier is a runtime verification tool for unmanaged code. It assists developers in quickly finding subtle programming errors that can be extremely difficult to identify with normal application testing. Application Verifier makes it easier to create reliable applications by monitoring an application's interaction with the Windows operating system, profiling its use of kernel objects, the registry, the file system, and Microsoft Win32 APIs. We have added our legacy application from the previous demonstration to the Application Verifier. The Application Verifier allows you to select more than one application to be evaluated. The test for each application will begin when you start the application and will end when you close the application. So the Application Verifier will only test each application as it is opened. There are several tests that you can choose from. The basics verification layer consists of several tests. To ensure that applications don't hide access violations using structured exception handling, you can choose the exceptions test. Other tests in this section ensure that the application is not attempting to use invalid handles, check for memory corruptions issues in the heap, and verify the correct usage for critical sections, among others. Compatibility verification layer tests help to identify an application that may have problems with the Windows operating system. Many of these checks can also be used to test for the Designed for Windows logo requirement. Low resource simulation tries to simulate an environment under low resources, such as out of memory. This simulation will identify bugs that occur in low memory conditions, which is also referred to as fault injection. The Limited User Privilege Predictor, LuaPriv, has two primary goals, predictive and diagnostic. When running an application with administrative privilege, you can use this test to predict whether the application would work as well if run with a less privilege, generally as a normal user. For example, if the application writes to files that only allow admin access, then that application won't be able to write to the same file if run as a non-administrator. The second goal is diagnostic. When running as a non-administrator, this test can identify potential problems that may already exist. One fundamental step towards increasing the security of the overall computing environment is to allow users to run without administrative privileges. If an application only operates or installs when the user is an administrator, users are being forced to run applications with unnecessary privileges. The problem with this is that when users are forced to run applications with the elevated privilege at all times, deceptive or malicious code that they execute can easily modify the operating system, or worse, affect other users. Our goal is for customers to understand that most applications should not run with administrative privileges and to question any time they are asked to approve an application's request to run with them. UAC is fundamental in helping achieve this goal and will go a long way towards enabling a more secure computing environment for all users. The miscellaneous test section contains a couple of tests. Dangerous API verifier tracks to see if the application is using unsafe APIs. When the dirty stacks are enabled, the verifier will fill the unused portion of the stack with a memory pattern. This can help detect uninitialized variables in future function calls in that thread's context. The time rollover test forces the getTickCount and timeGetTime APIs to roll over faster than they normally would. This allows applications to test their handling of time rollover more easily. Print Verifier is a tool that is designed to help find and troubleshoot issues that may result when the print subsystem is called by an application. Print Verifier targets the two layers of a print subsystem, the print API layer and the print driver layer. Now that we have selected the LUA privilege test, we need to open our legacy application to begin the test. The more actions you perform in the application, the more accurate the application verifier test will be. Let's type a message, save the setting, and save to a shared database. Once the application that is being evaluated is closed, the application verifier stores the test data in a log. The log will be opened in XML format, so we'll use Internet Explorer to open the file. The default Internet Explorer settings will display security warnings. However, we know the source of these files, so we will continue. Now we can view the results of the application verifier tests. The Application Compatibility Toolkit enables you to verify whether your applications are compatible with a new version of Windows operating systems or to determine the impact of an update before rollout. Working with ACT is a four-phase process, starting with the Configuration Wizard, which creates the SQL database and sets the location of the log file share. We've completed the wizard as part of the setup for this session. Each task, collect, organize, and analyze, provides you with a list of steps required. The data collection phase creates an inventory of the computers and installed applications. This inventory will be used to identify potential compatibility issues when deploying Windows Vista. The first time we go to the Data Collections Packages page, we must create an initial collection package. First, we have to decide what type of compatibility to test for. Select the Deploying a New Operating System or Service Pack option to run the User Account Control Compatibility Evaluator, which enables you to identify potential compatibility issues due to permission restrictions enforced by the user account control. Through compatibility logging, the evaluator provides information about potential application permission issues and ways to fix the problems so that you can deploy a new operating system. Select the Updating to a New Version of Internet Explorer option to run the Internet Explorer Compatibility Evaluator, which determines whether your websites and applications will have issues when used on a new operating system. The Applying Windows Update options runs the Update Impact Analyzer to determine if you have compatibility issues due to the installation of a Windows update. Using the collected compatibility issue data, you can prioritize your testing and reduce the uncertainty in deploying updates. you can set when the collection package runs on the target computers, either as soon as possible after the installation or at a specific time. The collection package will upload data to the database periodically based on these settings. The Organize phase allows you to organize, prioritize, exclude, and categorize your applications, computers, and updates to help you analyze your data more effectively. The Prioritize page enables you to prioritize or exclude your applications, computers, and other objects for your ACT compatibility reports. The default priority list consists of 4 levels. The highest priority you can assign to an object is business critical. Business critical objects are so important that to your organization that unless you certify them, you will not deploy the updated operating system. The default setting is important and is assigned to all objects automatically. You use important objects regularly within your organization, but you can continue to function without them. You may choose to deploy the updated operating system without requiring certification. Nice to have objects are any objects that do not fall into the 2 previous categories, but are important enough that you want them to appear in your ACT compatibility reports. You will deploy the updated operating system regardless of certification. The last option, Do Not Include in Reporting, excludes an application from your ACT compatibility reports. From the Create Categories pane, you can create new categories and subcategories by which to group your applications and computers for the ACT compatibility reports. You have the option to create a new category, rename an existing category, or remove an existing category. The Assign Categories page enables you to assign your applications and computers to the categories and subcategories you created on the previous page. This assignment provides you with a way to filter your data more easily and to provide better and more personalized reports. When it comes time to analyze your application compatibility data, the majority of your work will take place on the Analyze Data pages. From here, you can review existing reports, synchronize application compatibility issue data, filter report data, and manage the reports themselves. In the reports, you will see the application compatibility results in the form of a risk rating. Risk ratings provide guidance regarding the amount of potential compatibility issues for a specific application, based on your environmental variables. Risk ratings can be from authoritative sources, including Microsoft or the software vendor, or if you are a member, from the Application Compatibility Toolkit community. The reports you view will be based on the categories and subcategories you created during the organized tasks. Since all the data is stored in a SQL database, you can build ad hoc reports based on the information you want to see when you want to see it. Windows Vista introduces many new and improved features that will greatly benefit your organization. Microsoft has taken great strides to ensure the compatibility of applications written for Windows XP and Windows Server 2003 with the new Windows Vista operating system. In many cases, running your applications with Windows Vista will not result in any interruption of productivity. However, some application compatibility issues are inevitable. Identifying these issues before deployment will ensure a smooth transition to Windows Vista. To assist in identifying and correcting early issues, Microsoft has included new and updated application compatibility tools with Windows Vista. Using these tools will be helpful for developers and IT professionals to take advantage of the full functionality of the Windows Vista operating system. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, here are some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/dsk-12 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. Several other resources are available for Microsoft. Popular author and MVP William Stanek offers expert insights in his first look into the latest generation of Windows operating systems. Discover the new features and tools for deploying Windows Vista. Help secure PCs and user accounts. Migrate user settings and data. Manage application compatibility. Improve reliability. Reduce support costs. Develop applications. And help users achieve new levels of productivity and success, whether at home or on the job. Introducing Microsoft Windows Vista is the guided preview for IT professionals, business decision makers, early adopters, users, developers, and anyone else who wants to start planning and hit the ground running with Windows Vista. There are also a number of good books available from other publishers. Here's the ultimate one-stop desk reference for Windows Vista users. Windows Vista, the complete reference, provides comprehensive coverage of the newest features of the operating system. From setting up for optimum performance and understanding the operating system to finding files and keeping computer systems secure and free from spyware, this volume covers it all. It's the ideal resource for anyone who wants to truly master Windows Vista. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. Several accreditations are available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP, you can become a fully certified System Administrator, MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager, to cover these changes.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The news group page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.